All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is American Vindicta. Let's go ahead and break into the news. What do we have lined up? So right now, we have a giant sunspot currently facing Earth and still growing, capable of emitting powerful solar flares. So right off the bat, I want to go ahead and start off with a little bit of prepping. Before we get into this article, first off, thank you very much to GS Radio and to KYH for hosting the American Vindicta podcast. Thank you very much, everyone who listens to me and who is in communication with me back and forth. Thank you very much to everyone who has been donating to help keep this show on the air. We do run strictly by donations right now. We do have some affiliate sponsors, not many, so if you do want to be an affiliated sponsor, please contact me through AmericanVindictaShow@gmail.com. We're always looking to take on new sponsorship. And please make sure, if you are watching on the YouTube and Rumble channels, that you're liking, commenting, and sharing everything that you see. All right, so with all that out of the way, let's get into this. Prepping. What could we possibly be prepping for? Well, I talk about a grid down situation quite a bit. One of the reasons why is because that's one of the things that will put everybody on a fair and equal playing ground. Grid down. If you wake up one morning and your AC's not working and your cell phone's not working and, well, you can't turn the lights on in the house, you got problems, all right? It's most likely not the grid locally that's down. It's something else. But what are the certain things that can cause that? Well, we know between cyber attacks, the weather, large earthquakes can cause a power outage. Typically, doesn't happen very much, but there are also criminal aspects within power outages that can happen. But the corona mass ejections is one of the worst case scenarios because it hits everybody. And by everybody, I mean no one would be safe from a X series class coronal mass ejection that was within the 20 levels. That's a nation-ending, potentially, situation. And there's not too many things that we have that can really protect us from that. So just to go ahead and brief you all on what's happening right now, let's go ahead and take this article from the Epoch News. All right, here we go. So, giant sunspot currently facing Earth and still growing, capable of emitting powerful solar flares. A fast-growing giant sunspot that can emit solar flares has more than doubled in size in recent days and is currently facing Earth, according to our experts. Sunspots are dark areas of strong magnetic fields on the sun's surface. They appear dark because they are much colder than other parts of the sun's surface, having formed at areas where magnetic fields are particularly strong, and that's according to NASA. Because of the strong magnetic fields, magnetic pressure increases while the surrounding atmospheric pressure decreases, resulting in the lower temperatures. Sunspots are associated with eruptive disturbances such as solar flares, which are fast-moving eruptions of radiation and coronal mass ejections, or CMEs, which is when large masses of plasma and highly magnetized particles violently eject from the sun. Flares move at the speed of light and take about 8 minutes to reach Earth, while CMEs can take 3 to 4 days to reach the Earth. And the fast-growing sunspot noted by the experts is known as AR3038. Quote, "Yesterday, sunspot AR3038 was big. Today, it's enormous," says Tony Phillips, the author of SpaceWeather.com. The fast-growing sunspot has doubled in size in only 24 hours. I'm sure that's not good. The expert noted that the magnetic field surrounding AR3038 could potentially blast M-class solar flares or medium-sized solar flares towards the Earth. Photos from NASA's Solar Dynamics Observatory, taken on June 22nd, shows the sun with enormous sunspots, The sunspot has doubled in size each day for the past 3 days and is roughly 2.5 times the size of Earth. 2.5 times the size of Earth. And this is what's really funny, is what's the next thing that they tell us? There's no cause for concern. I am not Chicken Little telling you that the world is coming to an end or that the sky is falling. But whenever I hear there's no cause for concern, I always have concern. Because that is what you tell the people to remain calm while we observe whatever in the hell's about to happen, right? So, Rob Steinberg, the acting lead of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's Space Weather Forecast Office, has said there is no need to panic, noting that the sunspots naturally grow in size. This is what sunspots do. Over time, generally they'll grow. They'll grow through stages, and then they start to decay. Young also noted that while the sunspot is producing flares, it does not have the complexity for the largest flares. And there is only a 30% chance that it will create medium-sized flares. The chances it will create large flares are even smaller at 10%, said the expert. Now, 10% is still something that I would definitely be paying attention to if I was in a observatory. So let's continue with this article. However, if solar flares such as an X1 class solar flare are released from the sun, they can potentially cause disruptions to communication satellites and long-distance cables on the Earth, wreaking havoc with the world's internet. So, there you go. That's just the beginning of what we're dealing with. So, beyond the potentiality of a massive solar flare knocking out all the power to whoever is facing the Earth at that point in time, we have some breaking news from the Supreme Court. Now, of course, this all has to do with the Second Amendment battle that's happening in the Supreme Court. That's also happening in the Senate. The Senate has supposedly gained enough votes to pass some sort of a gun, registration law, whatever it is. It's anti-Second Amendment. That's all I care about. So before we get on to that, let's talk about the Supreme Court. And this is coming to you from the Gateway Pundit. The Supreme Court issues a ruling gutting Miranda rights and threatening the Fifth Amendment. On Thursday, the Supreme Court issued a ruling in Vega versus Tico, a case involving the administration of Miranda rights, with the court ruling that a suspect's words or statements can be used in court regardless of their Miranda rights. Now, that's nothing, too spontaneously incredible. Whenever we would go to arrest somebody, you don't always Mirandize somebody. There are points and times why you would Mirandize. And it just falls into different departments and different policies. But if you are not Mirandized and you say some spontaneous statement, as it would be called, a spontaneous statement or a spontaneous utterance, well, we can write that down and include that in our reports. And yes, it will be used against you in court. All right, so moving on. For background, these are the facts of the case in question. Terrence Tico worked as a patient transporter in a hospital in Los Angeles after a patient accused him of sexual assault. Hospital staff reported the allegation to the Los Angeles Sheriff's Department. Deputy Carlos Vega went to the hospital to ask Tico questions to take his statements. Although the parties described vastly different accounts of the nature of the interaction between Tico and Vega, it is undisputed that Vega did not advise Tico of his Miranda rights before questioning him or taking his statement. So, once again, the Miranda warning is given whenever we go to start to interrogate and ask questions. That's when you get the ability to use your Fifth Amendment, where, hey, if you don't want to talk, we can, do whatever we need to here and then put you in jail, and then you can call an attorney and, we can proceed forward from the way your counsel advises you. But this is the direction we're going right now with this. Tico was arrested and he was charged in California state court, but a jury returned a verdict of not guilty. Following the acquittal on the criminal charge, Tico sued Vega, alleging that Vega violated Tico's Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination by taking his statement without first advising him of his Miranda rights. Justice Samuel Alito issued his ruling, a count of 6-3, deciding that using such statements outside of Miranda rights is not a violation of a defendant's rights and does not give them the right to sue the court for such. And here's the tweet informing it. Coming from SCOTUS, if a police officer fails to give a suspect his Miranda warnings and the government uses the suspect's un-Mirandized statements against him in court, can the suspect sue the officer for violating his Fifth Amendment? Well, in a 6-3 ruling, SCOTUS says no. Miranda prescribed a specific and protective set of warnings to ensure that criminally accused suspects were made aware of their Fifth Amendment decree that no person shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself. Miranda is also one of the court's most culturally famous decisions. Americans know Miranda. More accurately, Americans know the Miranda warnings. Even if they cannot recite the lyrics to the national anthem or the Pledge of Allegiance, they likely can recite the Miranda warnings. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. You have the right to an attorney. If you cannot afford an attorney, one will be appointed to you. Do you understand these rights? Now, as a police officer, that's one of the things that you are hit on, especially whenever you're going through field training, is do you understand these rights? And it's either a blank stare or a head nod or a curse or whatever it is that the suspect wants to give you. Generally, if the police obtain a suspect's statement violating Miranda, the government cannot use the statement against the defendant in court. But the defendant can later sue the police for violating the defendant's constitutional rights. And once again, the Supreme Court says no, they can't. The ruling brings into question the future of Miranda rights. Essentially, Thursday's ruling implies that any conversation, coerced or voluntary, taken in the absence of Miranda can be used against a defendant in a court of law. Thursday's ruling is a threat to the Fifth Amendment, which states that no person shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself. It also permits a person to refuse to testify against himself at a criminal trial in which he is the defendant. And also privileges him not to answer official questions put to him in any other proceeding, civil or criminal, formal or informal, where the answers might incriminate him in future criminal proceedings. Alito said in his ruling that Miranda did not hold that violation of the rules it established necessarily constitute a Fifth Amendment violation, and it is difficult to see how it could have held otherwise. In referring to Miranda, Justice Alito said, at no point in the opinion did the court state that a violation of its new rules constituted a violation of the Fifth Amendment right against compelled self-incrimination. He went on to clarify that Miranda Court stated quite clearly that the Constitution did not itself require adherence to any particular solution for the inherent compulsions of the integration process, and that its decision is in no way created a constitutional straitjacket. Ultimately, Alito ruled, because a violation of Miranda is not itself a violation of the Fifth Amendment, therefore, there is no justification for expanding Miranda to confer a right to sue. The court's decision states that a defendant cannot take recourse on any law enforcement official who chooses to use un-Mirandized statements in a court of law related to pending criminal cases. So where can that be used at? Well, right off the bat, the first thing that I think of, unfortunately, is January 6th and the injustice that's happening to people that had their interactions with the FBI. Now, I'm going to say this as a blanket statement, and I'm not exactly damning all law enforcement. But just because law enforcement is there in front of you does not mean you need to talk to them. I'll give you an example of where you would want to talk to law enforcement. If there was an active shooter, if there was just so happened to be a felony committed in your presence, or, you know, even a misdemeanor theft happening in your presence, would you want to tell the police everything that you know? Sure, that's when you can. But if it is in a case where the state is investigating you and they, you know, come to formally charge you, or they come to just question you about certain things, here's my best advice, all right? And this is not anti-law enforcement when I say this. Lawyer up. Tell them you're not going to answer any questions. Call a lawyer. Discuss it with the lawyer. And go from there. Even if that means that they say, okay, well, if you're not going to help with the investigation, then we're going to put you in protective custody, or we're going to arrest you for whatever, whatever, and then we're taking you down to the jailhouse, and then we're going to formally investigate you there. Okay, sure, because I'm not going to talk to you without a lawyer present. And, you know, I don't know, maybe this is just my opinion, but my opinion of law enforcement has changed since January 6th, since the Russian investigation, since all the stuff that happened to former President Donald Trump, all the stuff that happened with Biden so far, and this criminally inept and corrupt government that we have, especially the Department of Justice. I, even as a former law enforcement officer, don't trust the process anymore. I question very much the process that is at hand. And I think there is a target drawn on the back of American citizens who also don't trust the government. And, you know, just because someone says we don't trust the government doesn't mean we want to go and blow up the White House, as Madonna said. Does anybody else recall that? I was there the day she said it, not in front of me, but I was working fighting against Antifa when Donald Trump was being inaugurated. And that was a cold, cold day if you were there. But I worked the inauguration for that. And I remember right after that event, Madonna said, If I could, I would blow up the White House or whatever, some sort of crap like that. Hey, man, was she properly investigated? Most likely not. Most likely somebody within one of the federal entities went out and said, hey, Madonna, you said such and such statement on such and such channel at this time and this date during President Trump's inauguration. Did you mean what you said? And Madonna, most likely through the counsel of her lawyer, would say, no, I didn't. I said it as a part of entertainment or as whatever. But you're going to be asked, did you mean what you said? And all someone has to say simply is, nope, I didn't mean it. You know how many times I would get that call? You need to go out and do a knock and talk on such and such's house. Because they called the Social Security office and said, I didn't get my check this month. I guess I'll just blow up the White House and that'll get everybody's attention. You know, those spontaneous statements, they are going to be investigated. However, when you go to be questioned by it, previously, I used to just, you know, look at the report and I'd go, okay, this guy's either just crazy, depending on the statements that he made, or how many different times he's called and made these statements. Or, you know, there's something legit here. Let's go and investigate this. And it's going to be investigated, period. But it's, you know, how we proceed. Because you get in the job long enough, like I did, 10 years of dealing with crazy people. You know people that are crazy. All of you out there listening to me right now, you've worked with that one crazy guy or crazy lady that, you know, while you're just trying to eat your sandwich during lunch, it says, oh, you know, aliens came and abducted me yesterday and brought me to Venus where I had the lovely tea with them. You know, you would hear the most random stuff. And, you know, do you ever think when you hear that statement, gee, I should call NASA and let them know? No, because you know they're crazy, right? So we get very used to people who make spontaneous statements. And Madonna made a statement that is very misleading. Because Madonna is such an influential person that you could take what she says and get one of the people who dresses up like her and that listens to her horrible 90s music and does everything Madonna, and she says, oh, Madonna's talking in my brain, it's time to go and blow up the White House or harass somebody. But it is the prerogative of the left to do this. I can bring out, God, I don't know how many examples of the left saying, we need to hurt Donald Trump or we need to blow up the White House. And you know, it's not that I should probably take spontaneous statements that are made by crazy people, but I'm going to, just to prove to you that the left can say whatever it is that they want, but yet the right can't. And these things can and will be used against you in the court of law unless you're these 15 people, right? Here, let's get into this real quick. Mickey Rourke. In a TMZ video from 2015, this boxer-turned-actor directed his rage towards Trump, calling him a big-mouthed B-word bully, saying he would love 30 seconds in a room with the little B-word. Rourke also expressed a desire to give Trump a Louisville slugger. Well, you know, that sounds like a physical threat against a presidential candidate. I wonder if that was properly investigated by the FBI. Hey, let's go on to the next guy. Larry Wilmore. In late February 2016, the host of Comedy Central's now-canceled The Nightly Show joked about then-candidate Donald Trump, quote, I don't want to give him any more oxygen. That's not a euphemism, by the way. I mean it literally. Somebody get me the pillow they used to kill Antonin Scalia, and I'll do it. I'll do it. Yeah. That's not a threat, is it, FBI? Here, let's continue. George Lopez, during the Republican primaries in March 2016, the Mexican-American comedian tweeted a cartoon image of former Mexican President Vicente Fox holding the decapitated head of Donald Trump aloft with the caption, Make America Great Again. Marilyn Manson. Shock rocker Marilyn Manson had to take his turn in the Trump-bashing festivities. In a teaser video for his song, Say 10, released in 2016, a Trump-like figure wearing a suit and a red tie lies decapitated on a concrete floor in a pool of his own blood. Rosie O'Donnell. In July 2017, O'Donnell tweeted out a link to a game called Push Trump Off a Cliff Again. This made many conservatives want to push her off a cliff, not POTUS. Madonna. Madonna told a crowd of thousands at the Women's March on Washington in January 2017 that she had thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House. The singer's profanity-riddled jab at the Republican administration provoked the anger of many conservatives. I wonder if she's talking about using explosives, if she's related to any type of white supremacy, huh? What about all the other people who said that they wanted to use bombs in the past and did it enough until, you know, they eventually just did it? Was Madonna properly investigated? Oh, I would have loved to have been there. Probably not. Here we go. Robert De Niro. And this one really sucks. I liked old Bobby. I was a real Robert De Niro fan until I heard about his politics. As usual, right? You know, I buy your movies so I can watch you act. I don't care about how you vote. I don't care about who you have sex with. I don't care about any of that. I just want to watch you act, right? Entertain me. Shut up and entertain me. But no, these soon to be politician turned actors or political tools, all they do now is they bash Trump, they bash conservatives, and the strange part is I still believe that America is still vastly conservative. I still believe that America will always be vastly conservative until that final dreadful day that we're not. And we may be coming close to that soon. But, you know, once again, another great actor and his career is over with anyway. So I don't know what his credibility is anymore. But let's hear what this idiot said. The actor is not afraid to express his disdain for the commander-in-chief. De Niro confirmed to ABC's The View, what a great channel that is, in February 2017 that he would like to punch Trump in the face. He clarified earlier comments saying, "It wasn't like I was going to find him and really punch him in the face, but he's got to hear it." See, once again, this is what cowards say, okay? Cowards talk from a very long distance away about the things that they're going to do. These type of threats, when we look back in history, were not taken very lightly. Even this one quote here coming from Takuma Soho, which is one of the great samurai warriors, he was quoted saying that a warning is not a threat, but a spoken threat is a foolish warning to give your enemies. If a man is worth threatening, then he is worth killing. This is the mindset of our ancestors. This is not the mindset of their predecessors. Men and women from years gone by, if they could view this generation of people and the way they live, the way that they sell themselves now, the amount of abhorrent sin that is all over the world, and just the sheer amount of unmanliness that's out there, would probably say, "I'm glad I died, and I'm glad the world is the way it is now and not when I lived." Just imagine when Wyatt Earp was still a lawman, men that would walk around threatening each other or threatening law enforcement at that point in time typically had one or two immediate reactions happening to them. They were drawn upon and arrested, or they were threatened after being drawn upon and then told to stop drinking and leave. You know, that was typically your law enforcement response back then. And I would like to say that, you know, even though back then the shootings weren't as bad as they are now, the crimes were just as bad and the people were much more rough, but people meant what they said and said what they meant back then, which has been lost in this culture now. And it's sad to see this. You know, we have all these people that you would consider to be idols of our youth, and they say some of the most outlandish things, live some of the most outlandish lives. And like this example, Snoop Dogg. Snoop Dogg's music video for Lavender, released in March of 2017, literally paints the President of the United States as a clown and orchestrates his own death. At the video's end, the Gin and Juice rapper points a gun at the Harlequin Trump figure and shoots him. But instead of a bullet, a red flag that reads "Bang" fires out of the gun. Oh, what a tough guy. All right, here's one everybody should remember. Kathy Griffin. Kathy Griffin, the failed comedian, landed in hot water in May 2017 after photos surfaced of her holding a fake bloody decapitated Trump head. Griffin was promptly dropped from her annual New Year's Eve gig by CNN. Toilet stool company Squatty Potty also pulled its ads featuring Griffin. Trump himself called the photos sick and tweeted that his youngest son, Barron, was having a hard time with the images. Kathy Griffin later kinda apologized, but she said that it was art. Really, that is what they call art in the left. Of course, this is the same left that has Hillary Clinton and John Podesta and Bill Clinton and Jeffrey Epstein. You know, all the usuals. All right, next on our list, the New York City Public Theater's Julius Caesar. The nonprofit theater staged a modern adaptation of Shakespeare's Julius Caesar in May-June 2017 that made conservative viewers want to revolt. In the production, a Trump-like figure playing the title role is stabbed to death by a band of angry senators. The public theater subsequently lost sponsorships from Delta Airlines and Bank of America. Yeah, rightly so. They should probably be completely shut down. Moby, this loser. The musician's new video released in 2017 is simultaneously nostalgic and dystopian. In a 1980s cartoon fashion, a giant transformer-like Trump morphs into a swastika dollar sign and wreaks havoc on a city before meeting a fiery and explosive demise. Johnny Depp, everybody's favorite hero, Johnny Depp. During an appearance at the UK's 2017 Glastonbury Music and Arts Festival, the actor tore into the president and said, quote, "I think Trump needs help," and then made a ill-considered joke, quote, "When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?" Depp claimed that he was joking and was misconstrued and eventually issued an apology. Well, that apology was probably issued after the Secret Service had made a visit to Mr. Depp, or the FBI, or another agency that was near him, wanting to ask, what exactly did you mean by saying, when's the last time an actor assassinated a president? See, these people cannot be let off the leash. They have to be accounted for, as every one of you listening right now is accounted for everything that you say. It's about time America gets back to that. And if Trump gets reelected again, or if Ron DeSantis gets elected, or whatever, if the Republicans get the House, they get the Senate, and they get the White House again, we need to make some changes in the way things are done here in the United States, because it's time that we stop being so damn tolerated. We tolerate so much. We're too tolerable, honestly. Not every boy and girl that gets 20th place in the race deserves a trophy. Just because you're a man and you suck at athletics and then you decide to be a woman because of a controversial idea, well, you probably shouldn't be allowed to compete on a national level and then steal the titles away from women who've worked their entire life for that goal. Maybe I'm wrong when I say that, but that's my opinion. You know, and once again, as a guy who's a power lifter, I remember there's a, he's either an Olympic lifter or he's a power lifter. I think he's an Olympic lifter. But the guy is competing in a 275 weight class. That's my weight class. And apparently sucked enough to go through his transformation and become a girl, grew his hair out long enough to have pigtails, and then competed in the women's, I think it was Olympics, and won. You know how many people stood up and clapped? Almost nobody, especially within, you know, the powerlifting and Olympic world, because we all see the travesty that act completely was. That man did not deserve any titles. If he needed to win them, he should have stayed in the men's division or get out, period. If you want to be here with the big dogs, compete with the big dogs. If you made 10th place out of 10 people, whatever, man, you were still in the Olympics. Why, you know, why go to somebody else? Why go ruin someone else's careers? I think it's just selfish. And you know, it's not just America. This is the whole world is doing this right now. But, hey, I will ask you, when's the last time you heard of a Chinese, Iranian, or Russian, or, you know, Pakistani or North Korean man who decided to, quote, become a woman and then compete on their national scale and start winning any trophies? Has anybody heard that? Really? Nobody. You want to know why? Because even though these countries ideologically are not the same as us. Ideologically, we would consider them to be enemies, and probably right. Especially China. They still hold this weird thing where they recognize a man as a man, a woman as a woman, a man and a woman are the only ones allowed to marry. You know, I'm sure they have the other things happening in their cultures. But, you know, on a national scale, they still reflect what we used to be. And we consider ourselves to be progressive and to be beyond it. And we're really, you know, we're really teaching the world the way things should be now. We're falling behind. We're falling behind the world. We're becoming Babylon. We are becoming Sodom and Gomorrah. And the world eventually is going to witness the reckoning of America. Pearl Jam. At a show in Montana in August 2018 that served as a fundraiser for Senator John Tester, the Seattle-based rockers released a cartoon poster commemorating the show that featured a bald eagle picking the rotting corpse of President Trump on the White House lawn. Pearl Jam, a once great band. I don't understand it. Is there not one person out there who looks and says, this is wrong, you know? I don't know. This is just my opinion, though. All right, well, on today's real topics at hand. I had to get that off my chest. Sorry. I hold quite a few people in disdain in this country, and I just thought maybe you would like to hear it. So anyways, moving on. The Senate is poised to vote on Thursday, today, to advance red flag gun laws and deal another death blow to the due process and Second Amendment rights. The Senate is poised to take a critical vote on Thursday to advance the gun safety bill towards final passage. The bill, supported by 14 Republicans earlier this week, that aims to infringe on Americans' rights to bear arms. Rhino Republicans, by the way. The legislation is on a path to passing the Senate as soon as this week. The 80-page bill was released Tuesday evening and includes expanded background checks for gun buyers under 21, provides grants for states that implement red flag laws, and offers additional funding for school safety measures and mental health services. So right off the bat, guys, the expanded background checks, how much more expansive can they be? That's right, I forgot. The expanded background checks are going to be a part of whose job that's going to marry up with the FBI and the ATF. It'll be part of the Department of Homeland Security's job and their truth council or their truth board that they're going to have. And they're going to go through your social media posts. And they are going to be one of the determining factors for whether or not you should be able to have a gun, for whether or not a red flag law should be implemented on you, because typically it's a red flag law, something done by a family member or by a neighbor, or done by, you know, an official who, you know, says this person has threatened me, this person has been, you know, pointing their gun at me, or you know, just really crazy, chaotic things that typically or something that you would call law enforcement to say, hey, look, there's a legitimate crazy person over here. Okay, you can have a judge seize that person for medical evaluation and seize their weapons. And if they pass the medical evaluation, then whatever law decides to do from there, and then the guns are typically released by a judge. Okay, that's a very rare case, by the way, very rare case. More especially the things that have been happening lately is that you have your high school, you know, niece or nephew or cousin or some young dumb kid or some person who gets triggered by anything and says, this person I know owns guns, they're a veteran, they're a NRA member because I see the sticker on their truck or car, they fly the patriotic white racist American flag, all the stuff that you guys have heard. And I've seen it done in Seattle and in the Portland area in Oregon, where you'll have a leftist that will call for a red flag law against someone who's a conservative. And I think the three times that I was aware of this, it was over a dispute because of Donald Trump. So, you know, you this red flag law can be used by people just to have a random phone call and say, hey, so-and-so is crazy. They have guns. They say they're going to kill everybody. And then they get swatted. And then they get their guns taken away. And then they get hauled to court. They get processed at jail. And what? Where's their due rights? Where's the due process? Where's their constitutional rights at? It's all taken away by red flag laws. That's why red flag laws are unconstitutional. They're absolutely unconstitutional. I think there are times when you need to have a medical intervention on somebody. And I'm not going to say what old Cyclops out of Houston says, Dan Crenshaw. I don't believe in red flag laws. I was in law enforcement, unlike Dan Crenshaw. I know when law enforcement needs to be intervened. Let law enforcement do the investigatory approach, and then we can come back and say, hey, we've had interactions with this guy. We think he's just crazy. He doesn't seem like he's going to do anything. But let law enforcement decide that, not some person who wants to use it as for a political tool. Because at that point in time, you're finding loopholes around our checks and balances of our Constitution. And that's dangerous. That's deadly dangerous at some points. Anyways, moving on. Oh, and the mental health services part? Give me a freaking break. We have cried in this country about mental health services for so long that the people who deserve mental health that are out there on the street, the one that Christ tells us to befriend, Christ tells us to be kind to be giving to, instead of being kind and giving to them and loving our neighbors, instead what we do is we give them needles, we give them alcohol, we give them money to spend on drugs and on other different types of substances for their own abuse. And then we see the crime grow rampant and we do nothing about it. We say, oh, look how generous we are as a society. And that's almost the entire damn West Coast at this point. I'm so glad I'm not a cop on the West Coast. I already did my time on the West Coast dealing with that stuff, from working the border in California to working Antifa up in the Portland, Oregon, Seattle area. That was enough for me. But to do that day in and day out, that is just so aggravating. I think honestly I'd just go be a firefighter, honestly. All right, so let's get back into this article. The measures also create penalties for straw purchases of firearms, requiring more gun sellers to register as federally licensed firearms dealers, and closes the so-called boyfriend loophole by prohibiting gun access for people convicted of domestic abuse against an intimate partner. So there are really good instances out there where, you know, law enforcement will tell you, especially even the NRA will tell you that, hey, you probably should own a weapon and you should probably have your concealed license carry license, and you should carry that gun because of X, Y, and Z. And the examples are limitless, guys. Honestly, the examples are limitless. If you have a problem with firearms, go get familiar with it. And if you don't want to have a concealed carry license because you're afraid that the government will know that you have it, hey, it doesn't matter at that point. The government already knows that you have the gun. Trust me. The government knows every single person since the 90s who has purchased a gun. You're not going to hide from that. However, it doesn't matter at that point if the government knows you have a gun or not. If you're being robbed, the government's not going to swoop in and say, don't harm that person. You better be your own first responder. Especially you women. Don't take your safety for granted. Hey, and men are right there. Men are right there alongside of it. I have seen more men beaten by other men than I have women beaten by men. That's just the fact of the matter. So men, statistically, you need to be packing more than the ladies do. The most significant concern in this bill, and by the way, this is a Gateway Pundit article. The most significant concern in the bill is the red flag gun laws that would allow officials to bypass the Second Amendment rights and remove a gun from anyone. Yes, sir, they can do it. And that's if they feel that you might be a threat. If they think you are a threat. What did President Bozo just do recently for the clown world that is the White House? He said that he believes that 80 million people are the biggest threat that the United States has ever seen. Anyone who's MAGA. The biggest threat that anyone has ever seen. So, It is a death blow to due process, and it flips the judicial standard of innocent until proven guilty. Under the red flag laws, a person is presumed guilty until otherwise deemed innocent. Under the process, a person is penalized by having their Second Amendment rights revoked and their gun confiscated for a reason as simple as posting a photo of a firearm on their social media. If a person reported that post and expressed any concern about the person's mental state, their guns would be removed by law enforcement. So, who does that also affect? Me. Obviously. If you ever watch the YouTube videos, what is on the background behind me? My beautiful guns. Which, to this day, my guns have not jumped off my wall and shot anybody. It's amazing. I don't know how they keep their composure. I know these bloodthirsty things that are sitting behind me made of iron and plastic are just waiting to waylay an entire mass of people. But they haven't done it yet. Here's how red flag laws would actually work if you've been watching for the last 2 years. The radical left would weaponize these laws against law-abiding citizens. Absolutely. Absolutely. They have, and they will continue to do it. Listen to Governor Tom Wolf. He says that red flag laws allow us to take action when someone who has a gun begins to act erratically. Red flag laws still require due process, and any removal of weapon is temporary. Ah, temporary. So, if someone is acting erratically, like 95% of the people who voted for Joe Biden, do we get to take their guns? Or is this a political tool used by a political entity when they weaponize law enforcement to go after people that they deem deplorable? Sounds an awful lot like good old Uncle Adolf Hitler was guiding this spiritually, doesn't it? The initial legislation proposal was passed this week with the support of 14 members of the GOP. How dare these people? And these GOP members have flipped support to following the crowd of Democrats who want to remove the rights of gun owners nationwide. Here is the list. These are the rhinos who chose to follow the crowd. Texas Senator John Cornyn. Minority Leader Mitch McConnell. Missouri Senator Roy Blunt. North Carolina Senator Richard Burr. West Virginia Senator Shelley Capito. Louisiana Senator Bill Cassidy. Maine Senator Susan Collins, Iowa Senator Joni Ernst, South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham, sweetheart Lindsey Graham, topsy-turvy Lindsey, Alaska Senator Lisa Murkowski, shocker there, Ohio Senator Rob Portman, Utah Senator Mitt Romney, North Carolina Senator Tom Tillis, and Indiana Senator Todd Young. So here, let's hear these guys out. House Republicans voice opposition to Senate gun control legislation. House GOP leaders have announced that they will vote against the Senate's gun control bill, with House Republican Whip Steve Scalise of Louisiana saying he will whip voting against the measure. Lauren Fine, Scalise's spokesperson, told Fox News Digital on June 22nd that the number two House Republican will encourage his fellow Republicans to vote no. What a state that we're in. In an effort to slowly chip away at law-abiding citizens' Second Amendment rights, the legislation takes the wrong approach in attempting to curb violent crimes. And don't forget, Scalise was almost killed by a Bernie Sanders supporter in a softball field. Do y'all remember that? This is the same guy who is opposing the overreach by the rest of the Senate. So good for him. On June 21st, the Senate held a procedural vote to advance the bipartisan Safer Communities Act with a vote of 64-34. Senator Minority Leader Mitch McConnell Senator Tom Tillis, Roy Blunt, Richard Burr, and John Cornyn were among 14 Republicans who voted for the legislation. Senators Cramer and Pat Toomey did not cast a vote. However, Toomey issued a statement supporting the legislation. If you don't cast a vote, then you might as well be in support of it. House GOP leader Kevin McCarthy has also voiced his opposition to the bill. "I will oppose the Senate bill because provisions in it would place additional unnecessary impediments and burdens on law-abiding citizens to own a firearm." House GOP Conference Chair Elise Stefanik issued a statement saying she will not vote for the Senate bill either. "This bill contains unconstitutional gun control provisions and allows the implementation of red flag laws that take away due process rights. It would restrict men and women who are able to serve in our military from purchasing a firearm, and would strip the constitutional rights of gun owners by broadening the scope of punishment for even nonviolent misdemeanors." Oh yeah, I forgot about that. When the red flag law thing came out, you know who was one of the number one people that they were talking about who red flag laws need to be pushed on? It was veterans. So people like me who had any type of combat experience, or if they had any type of negative side effects, more or less if you draw any sort of disability and you have anything related to a head injury or you had anything related to PTSD, then you are going to be deemed by this Congress, this Senate, by this president to not be worthy enough to potentially have a firearm. So you could be walking out of the military, having served your contract, serving your country, and automatically not be eligible for a firearm. Isn't that amazing? But Hunter Biden illegally bought a firearm as the vice president's son, and through whatever crack deal that happened with, and then threw the firearm into a trash can, a dumpster, outside of a school where the Secret Service had to take off their pretty coats and go dumpster diving in. All right, so let's end with this. Biden reacts to Supreme Court handing gun owners Second Amendment victory. President Joe Biden issued his response to the Supreme Court handing gun owners a major Second Amendment-related victory on Thursday. Quote, "Since 1911, the state of New York has required individuals who would like to carry a concealed weapon in public to show a need to do so for the purpose of self-defense and to acquire a license." Biden said Thursday after the Supreme Court issued its 6-3 ruling that essentially strikes down certain state and municipal laws regarding whether an individual can carry a firearm in a concealed manner. The case in question is New York State Rifle and Pistol Association Incorporated versus Bruin, was the first significant Second Amendment case to be heard by the Supreme Court in more than 10 years. New York's law required an individual to show that they had a proper cause to obtain a concealed carry license. More than a century later, the United States Supreme Court has chosen to strike down New York's long-established authority to protect its citizens. Biden added that, "I urge states to continue to enact and enforce common sense laws to make their citizens and communities safer from gun violence." Democrat New York Governor Kathy Hochul also criticized the ruling on Thursday and promised more gun control measures. Quote, "Does everyone understand what a concealed weapon means? That you have no forewarning that someone can hide a weapon on them and go into our subways, going to our grocery stores, like stores up in Buffalo, New York, where I'm from. This decision isn't just reckless, it's reprehensible. It's not what New Yorkers want, and we should have the right of determination what we want to do in terms of our gun laws." Let me tell you something, lady. You have no damn idea what the people of New York want. And the people of New York who don't want guns can go and live in the most dangerous places in a gun-free zone where the criminals will have the guns, let them live there for a year, and whoever survives can come out and let us know if they want guns or not. It's not up to a freaking politician to say whether or not men and women can have a firearm to protect themselves. That should not be up to a politician's decision. It is our God-given right based off the Second Amendment, that we have the right to protect ourselves. It's not from the freaking deer. It's from the criminals. It's from the terrorists. Just imagine, since you want to use this corrupt way of thinking, if at least one man or woman was armed on the subway or was armed in Buffalo, New York, at the grocery store, when these two active shooters first started happening, if one man or woman was armed, properly trained, and willing to sacrifice themselves by taking on the shooter and had stopped the shooter, this would not be our conversation right now. If. I want to leave you with a quote about if. When King Philip II of Macedon, the father of Alexander the Great of Macedonia, invaded into southern Greece, he sent a message to the Spartans asking if he would be received as a friend or enemy. The Spartans replied, neither, which greatly offended Philip. So Philip sent a threat and said, you are advised to submit without further delay, for if I bring my army into your land, I will destroy your farms, slay your people, and raze your cities. The Spartans replied with just a short little snap, if you dare. And it never happened. The Macedonians eventually did conquer Greece, and the later Macedonian king Demetrius I offended many Greeks through his extravagance and prideful attitude. He even forced the ambassadors of Athens, his favorite of the Greek cities, to wait 2 whole years at court before speaking to them. Sparta resented the Macedonian rule and sent only one ambassador to the court on behalf of the city. Demetrius was infuriated and demanded to know if Sparta had really sent only one man to speak with the king. The Spartan responded, aye, one ambassador to one king. It's about time that we Americans stand back on the testicular fortitude that carved this country out of the wilderness. It's time that we stand up against tyrants and let them know they can go no further. Ladies and gentlemen, train, prep, and pray. My name's Doug Thornton. You've been listening to American Vindicta. I'm out of here.
All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.